Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To Boldly Go, Leadership, Strategy, and Conflict in the 21st Century and Beyond. Edited by Jonathan Klug and Stephen Leonard. Forward by Major General Mick Ryan. Narrated by Walter Dixon. Forward. Major General Mick Ryan. Science fiction is my comfort food. It has been for as long as I can remember. For 30-plus years, it has made up one of the big four pillars of my professional reading. In addition to military history, contemporary military and political affairs, and technological developments. Asimov and Herbert were early staples. More recently, John Scalzi, Linda Nagata, and Martha Wells have become regulars in my science fiction reading. For me, science fiction provides a telescope to the future, a mechanism to think about future challenges and developing different ways of fighting and organizing military institutions that are barely comprehensible with current technologies. It allows us to ask, what if? Historian Bruce Hoffman wrote that science fiction is the major non-realistic mode of imaginative fiction of our epoch. It lies between fantasy, the realm of the impossible, and fiction, the domain of the possible. The genre's history stretches back to antiquity, where stories of early Greek civilization featured superhuman beings living on Mount Olympus. Later, a Japanese story called The Tale of the Bamboo Cutter described a princess who descended from the moon to the earth and later returned to the moon. It was not until the Age of Reason that what we recognize now as science fiction appeared. Two of the earliest science fiction stories, Johannes Kepler's Somnium and Francis Godwin's The Man in the Moon, were tales of traveling to the moon, but perhaps the best known, and the actual start point for modern science fiction, was Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. The story of young Dr. Victor Frankenstein, who created intelligent life from human body parts, was a cautionary tale of mankind attempting to play God in an era of new technological developments. Shelley followed this book with another remarkable novel, The Last Man, which imagined the last remaining human wandering the earth in the year 2100. As science fiction uses futures as the context for its stories, the genre has a deep pedigree in examining various themes in human conflict. Whether it is the nature of strategy or strategic competition in Dune or The Expanse, the perils of colonization in Avatar, the ethical dilemmas of technology in iRobot and the more recent Murderbot series, or the essentials of leadership in The Lost Fleet or Old Man's War, there are many insights we might gain for contemporary military organizations. Science fiction can be traced back to Assyrian rhetorician Lucian, writing about interplanetary warfare in his satire, True History. But it was the technological marvels of the First Industrial Revolution, particularly their application to warfare, that saw the birth of modern science fiction. In the late 1860s, George Chesney, an officer in the British Army's Royal Engineers, became concerned over the poor state of the British Army. After not achieving government action through letters that raised his concerns, he authored a fictional story that highlighted shortfalls in the defense of Britain. The Battle of Dorking described an invasion of Britain by a German-speaking nation that he called the enemy. Featuring a narrative provided by a British volunteer, the story also included the convenient absence of the Royal Navy, as well as a well-prepared invasion force that had advantages in intelligence, logistics, training, and leadership. The story, published in 1871 in the wake of Prussia's victory in the Franco-Prussian War, was a sensation. It quickly sold over 80,000 copies and sparked a national debate on Britain's defenses. The Battle of Dorking was the start of the modern future war genre, which has since featured both fiction and nonfiction accounts of future conflict. A foundation for future military science fiction stories, it kickstarted the invasion literature genre, the best known of which is H.G. Wells' 1898 novel, The War of the Worlds. Originally serialized in 1897 by Pearson's Magazine in England and Cosmopolitan in the United States, Wells' story is important for several reasons. It is one of the first novels that explores conflict between humans and aliens, It is one of the first modern-era science fiction stories. Its themes have pervaded science fiction over the past 120 years. The War of the Worlds is also important as an exploration of conflict with the other. The majority of European and American future war literature dealt with adversaries that were familiar, similar ways of fighting, similar weapons, and similar ways of thinking about warfare. Wells shuns this approach by instead having its protagonist facing off against an entirely new enemy. Its weapons and tactics, its strengths and weaknesses, were unknown to the human defenders. The War of the Worlds also contained themes that would manifest in the wars of the first half of the 20th century. Wells's vision of total war, destruction without moral limitations, emerged in World War II. The widespread death and urban destruction in the War of the Worlds became reality for London, Dresden, Berlin, Tokyo, and many other cities. Wells also focused on Martian destruction of key infrastructure. For example, the aliens concentrated on the destruction of British railways and telegraph lines during their invasion, which foreshadowed the Allies' focus on German infrastructure during World War II. Another important aspect of the book, relevant to future warfare, is the use of biological weapons. The English use of biological warfare to defeat the Martians presaged large-scale bio-warfare efforts by the Soviets, British, Japanese, and Americans in the 20th century. Finally, the book introduced the notion of a global threat. As Wells writes in the book's epilogue, "Whether we expect another invasion or not, our views of the human future must be greatly modified by these events. We have learned now that we cannot regard this planet as being fenced in and a secure abiding place for man." This theme reemerged in the 1950s as the nuclear threat to human existence and was present throughout the Cold War. Recently, military institutions have discovered the benefits of reading science fiction. The best science fiction uses advanced technology and the future as the foundation for excellent storytelling, and those stories often have lessons for contemporary military professionals. The genre features on many reading lists for senior officers and military institutions. It can be an intellectually nourishing experience for the military professional. In the past decade, service leaders such as the Commandant of the United States Marine Corps and Chief of the Australian Army have included science fiction on their professional reading lists. The Marine Corps has even taken this a step further with their publication of the Destination Unknown series of graphic novels, with Marine authors writing about future war. There are other examples of military institutions using science fiction in their strategic planning and thinking. In the wake of the September 11th attacks on New York and Washington, D.C., the United States military very quietly hired Hollywood directors and writers to think differently about future threats. Hoping to predict different kinds of threats in the 21st century, around 24 Hollywood writers and directors were secretly commissioned to imagine different scenarios that might endanger the United States. Not long afterwards, the Canadian Defense Force commissioned science fiction author Carl Schroeder to write the novella Crisis in Zephra to illustrate emerging concepts and technologies that could become part of Canada's army in the future. In 2013, the Atlantic Council commissioned a project, led by author August Cole, to examine future conflict through the lens of science fiction. It resulted in a series of short stories in a 2015 anthology called War Stories from the Future. Subsequently, other institutions have embraced this approach. The United States Marine Corps employed Science Fiction Futures in a 2016 project to review the future security environment. At the Australian Defense College, we formed the Perry Group in 2018, an elective designed to use science fiction to think about future force structure and warfighting concepts. In 2019, the French Defense Innovation Agency commenced hiring science fiction writers to form a red team that will come up with scenarios of disruption. There are countless reasons why science fiction is useful in preparing our future military leaders. First, it allows us to think differently about military operations. It shifts the paradigm for military leaders and aids them to think beyond the day-to-day aspects of training, administration, and unit management. Science fiction also broadens future leaders' minds and forces them to read something other than current events and military history, although it does not replace these topics, but complements them. In these ways, science fiction offers military organizations a tool for nurturing creativity and imagination in an otherwise conservative institution. Second, it allows military professionals to think differently about organizations and warfighting ideas. Science fiction offers a framework to think about the future for military organizations. It is a forward-looking, speculative complement to military history. For example, it can assist institutions in thinking through the implications of human-machine teaming and using AI to derive new warfighting approaches. Science fiction might also help us explore the institutional and ethical impacts of various types of human augmentation. Finally, science fiction allows us to conceive different strategies. Science fiction provides us with a mental framework that allows us to think outside the current paradigm and try to avoid the failure of imagination that leads to military failure. It allows for a more joined-up approach to strategy. The differences between various domain experts, Army, Navy, Air Force, etc., are not as pronounced or as important in a more connected future world portrayed by most science fiction stories. Finally, in the realm of strategy, science fiction aids in supplying frameworks for large-scale, long-frame problems. To Boldly Go is a book for those who dare to imagine radically different ways of thinking about the future of military leadership, the profession of arms, and how to use national resources more effectively and creatively to defend our peoples and our ideas. It draws together strategists, military leaders, and national security professionals to peer into the future and explore national security and military affairs through a very different lens. A diverse range of thinkers from the United States, Australia, and the United Kingdom are represented in this book. The various chapters employ science fiction books, short stories, movies, and television series as the foundations for these explorations. From Star Wars to Star Trek, Ender's Game to Old Man's War, the authors here contribute incisive and often entertaining insights into the future of military affairs and national security. As members of the profession of arms, we must continue to free our minds and exploit the mental laboratory that science fiction affords. I applaud the editors of this book for assembling an outstanding array of thoughtful and imaginative insights. So now, without further ado, it's time for us to boldly go into the future of military affairs. Enjoy. Introduction. People ask, where do you get your ideas? Well, right here. All this is my Martian landscape. Somewhere in this room is an African veldt. Just beyond, perhaps, is a small Illinois town where I grew up. And I'm surrounded on every side by my magician's toy shop. I'll never starve here. I just look around, find what I need, and begin. I'm Ray Bradbury, and this is the Ray Bradbury Theater. Well then, right now, what shall it be? Out of all this, what do I choose to make a story? I never know where the next one will take me. And the trip? Exactly one half exhilaration, exactly one half terror. Introduction to the Ray Bradbury Theater. A pioneer of science fiction, Ray Bradbury captured our imagination and remains one of the genre's iconic authors. As the New York Times aptly claimed when he passed, he was the writer most responsible for bringing modern science fiction into the literary mainstream. Although science fiction's popularity may be a relatively recent phenomenon, people have long gazed at the stars in search of meaning. Ancient civilizations looked to the heavens for meaning. Pyramids, temples, and countless wonders stand in testament to humanity's passion for the stars. The meaning of these monuments was embedded in stories crafted by the people who erected them, stories that were the driving force behind the efforts required to construct them. The evolution of modern science fiction as a genre is an extension of our fascination for space, technology, and the future, an obsession that has captivated us for millennia. For us, science fiction is a form of sense-making that aims to explore the nature of humanity and its place in the cosmos. no one was more aware of that fact than Bradbury, who committed his life to telling the wondrous stories that helped frame humanity within the vast nothingness of space. Bradbury believed first in writing the stories that you love, and he loved nothing more than weaving a good metaphor into his stories. In a 2010 Salon interview, he remarked, "If you're a storyteller, that's what makes a great story. I think the reason my stories have been so successful is that I have a strong sense of metaphor." The genre is a source of powerful metaphors that help us learn and develop, and, by no coincidence, the impetus behind To Boldly Go. To borrow a phrase from The Twilight Zone, this book offers a journey into a wondrous land of imagination. Using Bradbury's Magician's Toy Shop of Science Fiction as inspiration, To Boldly Go explores contemporary challenges in leadership, strategy, and conflict, while emphasizing the role of humanity and its interaction with technology, taking one to strange new worlds and boldly going where no one has gone before. By using science fiction to draw out modern-day lessons, To Boldly Go serves as an entertaining and valuable learning resource. Science fiction stories provide a ready-made shared understanding of context, allowing the authors and readers to use familiar settings to explore larger issues. Well-known franchises such as Star Trek and Star Wars are relatable and allow an exploration of leadership, strategy, and conflict in an accessible format. One does not need to know the historical nuances of the 18th century to understand the American Revolution. Instead, science fiction fans can use their understanding of Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, and contemporary strategic thought to examine the world of today and tomorrow. In 6 discrete sections, To Boldly Go explores thematically related concepts, focusing on what science fiction can teach us about leadership, strategy, and conflict, and why that matters. Each section introduces a new group of writers, each of whom engages their subject with the energy and tenacity of a rogue Klingon warbird. Part 1, The Captain's Hand, examines leadership and the art of command. In Space Battleship Yamato and the Burden of Command, the New York Times best-selling author August Cole returns readers to the space battleship Yamato with Captain Avatar leading an imperfect crew on an impossible mission. Heather Gregg follows with Princess Leia and the Strategic Art of Métis, using the Star Wars universe to explore the role of women in strategic and combat leadership. Will Meddings looks at how great leaders build teams in You're Just Not Ender Wiggins, and That's Okay, juxtaposing relevant research with the fictional world of Ender's Game. Other chapters, featuring brilliant writing from Kira Roslin, Mick Cook, Joe Brick, and Jess Ward, offer insights into leadership through the lenses of Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, The Expanse, and Starship Troopers. Part 2, The Final Frontier, investigates military strategy, planning, and decision-making. In Yours is the Superior Intellect, John Klug and Stephen Leonard draw from the iconic starship duel from the 1982 film Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan to examine the timeless conflict between experience and intelligence. Tim Choi stays in the Star Trek universe, using Deep Space Nine to explore modern maritime strategy in Where No Port Has Gone Before. In her chapter, Sun Tzu, Ender, and the Old Man, Kathleen McInnes uses science fiction to interrogate the construct of strategic empathy. Chapters from Tom Bruschino, Mick Ryan, and Jimmy Groves take us from Star Trek to Ender's Game to The Old Man's War and back again, exploring topics as diverse as galactic grand strategy and strategic leadership. Part 3, The Prime Directive, explores topics of ethics, culture, and diversity. Max Brooks, the best-selling author of World War Z and Devolution, offers a futuristic perspective on desegregation with Romulans and Remans, taking readers where no man has gone before in Star Trek Nemesis. Jacqueline Witt's All That You Touch, You Change examines how issues of culture, diversity, and ethics at home ultimately impact security and strategy abroad. In The Vice Admiral and the Flyboy, Kelsey Sipola leverages the conflict between Vice Admiral Holdo and Poe Dameron in The Last Jedi to offer insight into the challenges faced by women in positions of power. With his chapter, Beware the Beast Man, Stephen Leonard describes how Twilight Zone creator Rod Serling used his screenplay for Planet of the Apes to express a cautionary tale of human nature. Equally fascinating chapters from a bevy of other authors, including Teresa Hitchens, Julie Still, Kelly Lolito, and Janine Webb, address a range of topics from social Darwinism to the ethics of interplanetary trade. Part 4, The War of the Worlds, delves into cooperation, competition, and conflict. Clara Engel opens the section with One Voice in the Night, an exploration of international systems through the lens of Babylon 5. In his chapter, You Rebel Scum, John Klug examines the fundamentals of rebellion within Star Wars, Dune, and Battlestar Galactica. In The Final Frontier, Erica Iverson lays bare the true costs of space conflict. John Nickum offers a lighthearted look at civilians on the battlefield in There's No Screaming in Space. Part 4 also includes brilliant and insightful writing from veteran writers Rebecca Jensen and M.L. Cavanaugh. Part 5, The Rise of the Machines, plunges into the complex relationship between humanity and technology. The first offering, Margarita Konaev's We Don't Serve Their Kind in Here, examines the topic of trust in human-machine teams. Francis J.H. Park transports readers to the Battlestar Galactica universe with You Can't Hide from the Things You've Done, exploring the fear of robot uprising and what it means to be human. Elsa Kanya's Musings on the Murderbot focuses on humanity and artificial intelligence, drawing on two-time Hugo Award-winning science fiction author Martha Wells's Murderbot series for inspiration. Finally, Craig and Steve Whiteside journey back to The Stand with Things We Learned from Captain Trips, while Liam Collins examines the impact of technology on conflict with Man is Greater than Machine. The final section, Part 6, The Dark Side, assesses the dark depths of leadership, from toxic and destructive leaders to the impact of trauma on leading others. In The Mark of Locutus, David Calder examines how Jean-Luc Picard's assimilation by the Borg Collective influenced his ability to lead. John Klug returns with To Live and Die at My Command, an exploration of toxic leadership through the lens of Khan Noonien Singh. Dan Ward offers a glimpse of science fiction as postmortem in his chapter From Darth Vader to Dark Helmet. Finally, Stephen Leonard's The Mirror Cracked delves into destructive leadership using Star Trek's Mirror Universe as the impetus for discussion. Throughout his life, Ray Bradbury tirelessly encouraged fellow writers. He would have been 100 years old in 2020, yet his legacy, his admonition to write what you love, lives on, encouraging all those involved in this project to persevere in what might not have been the most ideal circumstances. Following his example, the 35 chapters that comprise these sections sprang from within each author's magician's toy shop, an explosion of creativity and imagination that would have sparked joy in Bradbury. We hope they provide a fun way to use science fiction to better understand our world and provide serious insight into our leaders, strategies, and conflicts. We hope you enjoy it as much as we have enjoyed writing it. Part 1, The Captain's Hand. Chapter 1, Space Battleship Yamato and the Burden of Command. August Cole. The ship's white-bearded commanding officer, Captain Avatar, sits taciturn, as if he himself was formed from the Yamato's bulkhead. The Starblazer soundtrack plays a martial symphony that evokes Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man. It's one that I can still hum, bar for bar, nearly four decades after first hearing it as a young child. This military science fiction anime series that first ran in the United States in 1979 and its 2010 live-action film update, Space Battleship Yamato, tell an unforgettable story of a last-ditch effort to save Earth from destruction. In the film, an alien force, the Gamillas, is bent on wiping out humankind on Earth with a campaign of fiery radiation bombardment. Humanity has less than a year to live as radiation poisons even the deepest underground redoubts. Rather than submit to destruction, the United Nations of Space Administration chances its last hope on a single ship, the Yamato, a refitted Japanese warship sunk in 1945. The Yamato rises in 2199 from a barren seafloor as a cutting-edge space dreadnought, given a mission to track down a mythical alien technology that humanity is told can restore Earth's ecosystem. It is a simple mission, hiding complex lessons. I came to first know this epic in its Americanized cartoon form, Star Blazers, watched when I was in elementary school, an unusual indulgence in a household in which my parents considered TV frivolous. The series was anything but a waste of time for my growing mind, and the show's influence over me continued into adulthood. In Ghost Fleet, a novel of the Next World War that I co-wrote with Peter W. Singer, the futuristic U.S. Navy destroyer Zumwalt is fitted with an imperfect but potent electric-powered railgun. The railgun's energy draw is so great that it causes the ship's defensive systems to shut down. A nod to the Yamato's finicky bow-mounted wave-motion gun. Star Blazers also introduced me to thinking about leadership at a time when the only authorities in my young life were my family. Captain Avatar was nothing like my father, nor was he anything like the only ship captain I knew, my gregarious and tattooed grandfather, who was a larger-than-life merchant mariner known for leaping ashore from a surplus landing craft in a Santa Claus suit to deliver gifts to kids in remote Alaskan communities. The contrast in what a leader was supposed to look like and how they were supposed to act fascinated me. In the 2010 Japanese film, Captain Avatar is called Captain Okita, and the Argo battleship is known as the Yamato. As a captain, Okita is similarly immutable, yet in the live-action version he is prone to frank discussions on the ethics and responsibilities of leadership, particularly with his chosen successor, a swashbuckling young fighter pilot named Susumu Kodai. The appeal of the film and anime series differ for me in other significant ways. After all, the story was changed to suit each medium, and it also reflects a 30-year stretch of time. I watched the cartoon at a time when I was struggling to make sense of Cold War fears of atomic annihilation, a discourse intertwined with my discovering the legacy of America's use of nuclear weapons in World War II at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The film version, while occasionally campy, finds time for such existential and ethical questions. It is particularly interesting from the perspective of military command and decision-making around individual and collective sacrifice in a time of hopelessness. Today, my children are watching their shows, animated and otherwise, just as their worries and dreams are also their own. They are consumed by questions about the environmental destruction of our planet at our own hands, not hive-mind aliens. They question daily the inability of adults to do anything collectively to stop it. Perhaps one day their work will be shaped decades from now by shows that engage their concerns about the future. And I can only hope the impact is as profound as the original Star Blazers and Captain Avatar had on me. For my contribution to Boldly Go, the admittedly occasionally ridiculous but beautifully rendered 2010 film adaptation Space Battleship Yamato will serve as the foundation for this essay. It is the easiest to access online and presents less of a commitment of time than multiple seasons of anime. If anything, the film is even more focused on themes of leadership. Note that the format of this essay is intended to represent a fictional form of found artifact from the space battleship Yamato future, something that an archivist or scholar might uncover. The document is a letter, written by one of the Yamato's engineers, responsible for the wave motion gun's chamber seals at the crucial forced induction point. A hurried message, written out by hand before the Yamato's penultimate battle on Gamilla. It was brought back to Earth by a fellow crew member who survived the voyage's final ambush. The letter's author did not, but his observations on leadership aboard the Yamato endured, as did the crew's success with their mission to thwart the Gamillas and restore Earth, even at the cost of the Yamato and its captains. Letter begins. To my daughter and son, I write this to you from over 160,000 light-years from Earth. But you are in my heart always, as a reminder of how important the Yamato's mission is to not just you, but to your children and their children and so on. Speaking for all the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?